Well, hello there. You are about to enter the mind of the mindset maniac. Your mindset is the most important part of your existence. Don't believe me? You will. With a healthy, adaptive, and expansive mindset, you can achieve anything, and you can learn to use every challenge in your life to benefit you in some way. I am here to teach you all the ways your mindset dictates your current experiences in life and ultimately your future. This podcast will teach you applicable tools and resources that you can start applying today to improve your life. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and jump right in. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of The Mindset Maniac. I am Leslie Krivar, your host and Mindset Maniac. And today, we are going to be talking about discomfort and specifically our tolerance levels for discomfort and how, if we're not careful, those tolerance levels can get lower and lower, and really what negative outcomes come with that. What happens when our tolerance levels for discomfort get too low? And it happens oftentimes without us even noticing. And this idea for this podcast came up for me in a few different ways. One, I do a lot of coaching for entrepreneurs, and a handful of those entrepreneurs are online fitness coaches, and they have teams of people who work underneath of them. And for some of those clients I have, I will actually support their whole team. And when I do that, I will do kind of like consult for like things that are coming up for their clients, right? So I'll be working with a coach who also supports clients, and their realm isn't like specific for like weight loss or lifestyle changes. And one thing that comes up so often on my end is this theme of an inability to be uncomfortable. And this shows up for anyone, or I should say it can show up for anyone, no matter what your goal is. But specifically, it shows up when we have a goal of, like, let's say, changing our body in some way, whether it's gaining weight or losing weight, that requires a level of discomfort. And I think we forget that, right? In this day and age, we're like saturated with the after photos, if you will. We're saturated with like what things will look like. And our brain just skips ahead to like, okay, this is what it's going to be like. And it forgets, if we don't like remind it often, that on the way there, it is going to be uncomfortable physically and mentally, more so mentally, because we have to get ourselves through these hoops of like thinking that when something is uncomfortable, that means it's like something's going wrong. This is bad. And that's not what it means. But because we believe that, because we believe that discomfort is like not okay, it means something's going wrong, we don't end up ever reaching our goals. So that's one way that it started coming up for me, this idea of like discomfort and like, you know, our tolerance levels for it and how it shows up in our lives and holding us back. And then the other way it showed up is I am teaching a social emotional development class right now in my son's co-op. So within his co-op, we meet twice a month, and I'll give you a little overview because I think this is so cool. They have Each child has two class options that they'll take for the 2 hours that they're there. And so they get to choose. And they always have very interesting. This is one of the things I love about this co-op and just like the homeschool, at least the way that we're doing it, options in general, is like the types of classes that they have available to them. It are like, why aren't all of us like learning about this stuff, or why weren't we learning about this stuff when we were in school? So one of the classes that he's taking is, they call it like a piggy bank class, but for 6 and 7 year olds, they're learning how to be entrepreneurs. And at the very least, if they don't want to be an entrepreneur, they're learning like how that process goes, what it looks like to have a goal, like for a certain amount of money, and how you can reach it, and how you be can be creative and innovative to figure out a way to make your own money to reach that goal. So I love that. That's the first class that he's taking. And then the other class is my class, which is the social and emotional development class. And in that class, we obviously are learning a lot about our emotions on a younger kid level. And this looks really cool at that age. And then there's the social piece of it as well. And what I've noticed is that it's natural for us to have a lower level of tolerance for discomfort. But what's really cool is that each child, depending on different experiences that they've had, their natural temperament, their, you know, nurture and nature parts of them, they have different levels of like tolerance for discomfort as well. And you'll see this physically, right? When a kid like falls down and just gets right back up, they're like, yeah, I'm fine. Or another kid falls down the exact same way, and then they're like distraught and they're crying and they need to be comforted. But we also see that, I'll notice it in the classroom, with like the emotional and the kind of mental discomfort as well. Like if something's hard, or like a child doesn't get something and they just shut down, they're like, I give up. They don't like the way it's making them feel, right? They don't recognize that the challenge mentally is making them feel uncomfortable, so they want to quit, but that's what's happening. And then there's other kids that like, when they don't understand something, they like go even further into it. They're like, I'm going to figure this out. Like they lean in towards the discomfort. So I think that this is just such an important topic to discuss, because some of it, as I said, is just part of our natural tendencies and maybe just the way our brains are wired. But it doesn't mean that like the nurture part, like that we can't practice this and up our tolerance level for discomfort so that we can be successful. And I think that it happens throughout life as well. A lot of times I will think about my levels of like my tolerance level for discomfort when I was younger and how much higher it was than it is now in some ways, I should say. And it's part of life too. It's phases of life for sure. Because last night I was taking a shower and I was thinking about, this podcast, and I was thinking about the tolerance levels that I had in high school. Now I'm going to out myself on being kind of like not the kind of gal that I will encourage my son to be, not that he's going to be a gal, Lord, but I mean like not the kind of child I will encourage my son to be in high school. But we all have different paths and we all have different things that get us to where, you know, where we go in life. But I was just like a wild child. And I remember the things that I used to do and the discomfort that came with it that just didn't even bother me, because it was just like, yeah, if I was set on doing something, I just didn't care. Like the negative discomfort that went with it. And one thing that came to mind, a memory that came to mind, was like I lived in a neighborhood where a handful of like guys and girls that I used to hang out with, they lived in the neighborhood, but it was a big neighborhood. So some of the houses were at least like 2 miles, if not further away. But in my brain, it's like, well, we live in the same neighborhood. Like, I know how to get to your house. Like, I can get there. And many times, but specifically, I remember on New Year's Eve, because it was freezing, it was snowing, I would like walk in the middle of the night, sneak out of my house. Sorry, mom and dad. Sneak out of the house and walk to their house to like hang out and do things that I shouldn't have been doing. But I would do that in the freezing temperatures, oftentimes with no coat, because like, who wears a coat? How lame to show up somewhere like in a coat. Like, I'm just laughing thinking about the mentality here. But I would just walk 2+ miles in the middle of the night, no problem, no thoughts of like, this is ridiculous, this is uncomfortable, this is such a long walk. Like, I would just plan ahead, like, oh, okay, I want to be there at midnight, I'll just leave at 10:30, like whatever it was. And I would do that. Now in life, if someone told me that I needed to walk somewhere for an hour and a half to probably just spend, what, an hour there, and it was going to be freezing and snowing, I would be like, are you, and mind you, walk home, I would be like, what, are you crazy? It would just like not compute. And so that's just a random like thought that I had. But this like continues on in life. I remember the the tolerance that I had for discomfort when I was in undergrad, like the way that I would hustle, like I would wake up at 6 a.m. and I would study, and then I would get to my 8 a.m. class on campus, and I would spend hours there, and then I would get a workout in, and then I would go to my either day job and or night job, and then I would come home, and then I would take a full course load of online classes that night as well, and I would rinse and repeat, and I would just do that with no complaining, no like thoughts of like, this is too hard, this is uncomfortable, I'm not getting enough sleep, I'm using too much energy. It was just like, let's go. If someone now, here's where I say it looks different. Discomfort looks different in different phases of life. But if someone asked me to do that again today, I'd be like, what? That is like a lot. Like that, my tolerance is not there for that kind of stuff. But it is in different ways. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. But I just look back on like how tolerance changes and how it like doesn't always just go up and down, but it just like shifts around in what it looks like. I see this tolerance for discomfort being very, very low right now in the world that we live in because of how easy it is to escape being uncomfortable in so many ways. So whether that's like being bored, right? So many people cannot handle being bored. So when I went off social media last September, it was so interesting to me, especially as time went on, like what the brain does when it feels like it doesn't have anything to do. Now, years and years and years ago, before social media, people just knew how to be bored. I was watching the show Chosen, right? That is just like incredible. I was watching this last night with my husband, and they were showing this scene where the kids were just like sitting out in the middle of the road in Jerusalem, and they were just playing, and basically their game was just like holding hands in a circle and just putting their hands up in the middle and then coming back down, putting their hands up in the middle and coming back down. And like that was their entertainment. And I'm like, this is what people used to do. And they probably didn't even think I'm bored. They just were like sitting there and they're like, this is life. And now it's so easy to escape boredom with social media or TV or anything else at the touch of the fingertips. It's like, we can just escape it. And so it's intolerable to be bored. Same thing goes with other like first world problems, as they call it. Like we don't have to worry about being too cold, too hot, too wet. And if we are, like we fix it immediately. Like God forbid the heat goes out or the air goes out. Same thing goes for food. And this kind of touches back on the point I made earlier with like supporting these clients that I have who are fitness coaches, because people do not know how to understand, or I shouldn't say understand, people don't understand that when our bodies want something, and a lot of times I'll refer to this as an urge, that we don't have to give into it. And we're so used to giving into it, because if you've ever sat with an urge, had something that you wanted that you didn't give yourself, like you will know that is not comfortable. It's uncomfortable to walk in your kitchen and to see a cupcake or to see a donut if you're me, and to like have that urge come up inside of you like, oh my gosh, I want that, and to not give it to yourself. Like it will produce a feeling inside of you of discomfort that you have to practice sitting with in order for that tolerance to get higher. But in our society, we're just it's so easy to like give in. I want this, I'll give it to myself. I want this, I'll give it to myself. I want this food right now, easy. I'll Uber Eats it to myself. I want this food, easy. I'll go to the store and get it. Like we don't have to wait for food. You know, back in the day when they had to grow food, I think that's such an amazing part of our like, part of being human, that like you have to wait, or you used to have to wait for things. And just like that patience and the tolerance that builds of like, you know, I want this food, but I have to like plant it, and then I have to like sow it, and then I have to like harvest it, and then all the things like that. It's become too easy for us to escape discomfort in so many ways. And I'm trying not to go on too many different tangents, but hopefully you're following me here. So what I have, what I've been thinking about a lot recently, and what I've actually noticed myself doing first, like unconsciously, like unconscious that this is like helping with this goal of like continuing to up my tolerance for discomfort. I just started doing these things and I was like, oh, this moves me towards this, this goal I have. But a couple things that I have done, and I'm going to give these to you as recommendations or options, and also say that you can tailor them in any way that would work best for you. But three things that I do regularly to help increase my level of discomfort tolerance is a 10-second cold, like ice cold shower after a warm shower. Now, I know that the cold plunge thing is like big right now. I remember doing my first cold plunge. So this would have been, would it have been 3 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. And this was before I really, like people were really talking about it or doing it, at least like mainstream how they do it now. And I remember like I was on this, this work retreat. And we got into these like ice cold plunge baths and I just sat in there for 5 minutes. First time ever doing it, no mental preparation, no physical preparation. I just was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay, I sat in it. Now, it was obviously intense and very, very uncomfortable. And I thought like I know that there are so many great benefits to that. But I also think that you can, depending on like what kind of benefit you're looking for, you can replicate that. You don't need to get a cold plunge tub to replicate at least some of the benefits of it. And for me, like doing this 10-second cold shower, and it usually turns into like 20 seconds. I tell myself 10 seconds because that's like a low barrier to entry. But once it's been 10 seconds, some days turns into 20, some days it turns into 30, but every day it's at least 10 seconds. When I do that, a number of things are happening. One, it is healthy. There is something that happens when you shock the system going from warm or hot. If you're me and you take a scalding shower, too cold. It shocks your system. And I know for a fact, there's a woman named Barbara O'Neill, and I read her blogs. She is like so smart health-wise and holistic health and alternative health, but she talks about how this shocks the system and it actually helps your brain cells regenerate. So that's one healthy thing, but I also know there's so many other benefits to like doing this like 10-second cold shower. It doesn't need to be a long amount of time. So that's one with, you know, the shock to the system and regenerating your brain. But the other thing that I didn't realize that I was doing until I kind of started connecting the dots was like upping my level for discomfort. It is not comfortable to go from a nice warm shower to literally ice cold. But I never, ever, ever regret it when I do it. And I always feel so good. Like when I turn the shower off and then I get my towel, I'm like, oh, I feel amazing mentally and physically. So that's the first thing that I do. I end every hot shower with at least a 10-second cold shower, okay? The other thing that I do is I fast. And this is something that I've been doing on and off for at least 5 years, to be honest. I started doing it right after I had two pelvic floor surgeries done in 2017. And one of the things that I did to speed up my recovery and to really support my body was I started fasting, and it actually like, it's amazing. If you're not familiar with the autophagy and the things that you're like, that happen when you fast, like look into it responsibly. But that's another thing that I do to up my level of discomfort and the tolerance that I have for that. So right now my husband and I do at least once a week a 24-hour fast. So what that looks like usually for us is we pick a day that it makes sense schedule-wise. It kind of fluctuates around week to week, but we choose one day and we'll have like a normal breakfast. And then the rest of the day, we just fast. And this is such an incredible way to practice self-control, to work on that urge response, right? I can't tell you how many times when I'm fasting, like I make a snack for Watson, or I make dinner for him, or he's having dessert. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want that. I want that. I want that. Like the urge is there. And then I have to like practice being with the discomfort of I want that and I'm not going to have that. And one of the most important things, and like really, really listen to me here, when you're practicing not giving into an urge, you have to shift out of the part of your brain that says like, oh, I need to control this. I need to restrict myself. I need to willpower, you know, myself out of not doing this, right? Even thinking about it in that way and hearing me describe it that way, it feels very closed off. I feel constricted. I'm like, oh no, I can't have that. So shifting from that place of control and restricting and like, I'm going to will my way through this, shifting to like empowerment. Like I have the power not to eat that. I have the power to continue my fast. I have the power to remind myself that I can have that tomorrow if I want or whatever it is. So control and trying to will my way through something versus reminding myself that I have the power to choose differently. Totally up to me. I have these different options. That is two completely different energies. And if there's one thing that you take from this episode today, I want you to like really sit into that, because I know everyone listening to this, I'm going to assume that everyone listening to this has some sort of goal in their life that will require them to be uncomfortable or to have some sort of like discipline. And instead of looking at it from this place of like control, shift into this place of power, right? Controlling something, it feels really hard and it feels efforting and it feels like energy draining versus I have the power over something. I have the power to choose differently. I have the power over what I do or don't do. That is going to put you in a very different energy space. So really, really consider that. Just like hold those different thoughts in your brain and how you look at yourself in different scenarios. So the fasting, okay, that's another thing that I do to increase my discomfort tolerance and self-control and urge control. Now, if you're someone that's never done a fast before, one, I don't throw this around like everybody should do a 24-hour fast. I've been into my fitness and my health and my nutrition for so many years. And specifically, I've worked with coaches and other holistic and alternative medical professionals for the last like 3+ years. So I do this responsibly. I do this while tracking my blood sugar and all the other physiological symptoms as well to make sure that this is serving me. So I wouldn't say, hey, just jump right in and try this. But you can do it in a very... You can also do it in a like a more moderate way as well. So if you're someone that's never done it and it feels like really like scary to do that or doesn't feel responsible to jump into a 24-hour fast, make the right decision for you. But try a 16-hour fast, right? Where you have an early dinner and then you don't eat till, you know, it's breakfast time, or maybe that looks like a 12-hour fast for you. And just kind of look at your windows right now even. So if you're like, I have dinner at this time, and by the time I wake up the next morning, it's not even been 12 hours or it's not even been 10 hours, just continue to try and expand that window. Another option is like, what does your window look like in between meals? Like if you have breakfast and then it's not even an hour and a half, 2 hours later before you're snacking in between lunch, maybe try and increase that window, right? Maybe you make it a fast for you to not have anything other than your waters and electrolytes for 4 hours and see how that works to like increase that level of discomfort and increase that or strengthen that muscle of like urge control as well. And then the last thing that I do is, I'm not going to call it HIIT, like high intensity interval training, which I do sometimes, but I really like to pick different points in my workouts to have an all out moment. And I like train, I like prep my brain for this. It's not something that just like happens sometimes or that like I wait for either the coach to instruct or whatever it might be. Like I know in my brain that I'm going to have a moment and it needs to be at least a certain amount of minutes, depending on the activity that I'm doing, that looks like an all-out moment, and it's going to be uncomfortable. I need to get to that place where mentally I want to quit And as soon as I get myself to that place, I will know it because I'm like, I want out. I want this to be done. And as soon as I get there, then that's when I know the clock starts and I stay there for a certain amount of time. Whether that's like an endurance failure, whether that's a muscle failure where I'm like, this hurts, right? I get myself there and I continue to practice expanding that window of making my tolerance for discomfort bigger and bigger. So these are three things that I was already doing. And then when I went to like start brainstorming for this podcast, I was like, wow, these are things that are growing that tolerance window and helping me sit with discomfort more and like be more familiar with it and not feel like when I'm uncomfortable, oh no, I need to stop, or I'm uncomfortable, I need to give in, I'm uncomfortable, I need to like fix this. It's like, no, I'm uncomfortable and I should be, and this is good for me. And there's two areas of life. This is kind of where I want to wrap things up with you. I want you to consider which one of these that you might find yourself in. There's two areas in life where I think it's really important to create discomfort. So the first one is if life feels like it's getting easier for you. And what I mean by that is like maybe you're in a place where you don't have to grind so much or you don't have to struggle so much, right? I was thinking to myself like five years ago when I first got like my Peloton bike, I remember how much of an investment that was and how I went back and forth on that for like weeks, maybe even months, to decide like, should I do that? And we just were in a place with like money where we had to be, you know, like more mindful and I was more scrappy with things. And it was like uncomfortable to be there, but now like I'm not in that place. And so if I wanted to go buy a Peloton, like I would just go buy one or something else like similarly in price. And that got me to thinking like, when you're in that place, whether it's financial or maybe it's like physical in some way, or maybe it's lifestyle in some way, like where things are just a little bit easier, you don't have to be uncomfortable with your finances, or you don't have to be uncomfortable with your workouts, things are going well. That's when it's important to seek out areas of your life where you can create discomfort to create like more callus so that you don't get soft, right? So that it's not like, when you go out in the world and you have to maybe walk 2 miles in the freezing cold, that it doesn't feel like unbearable because you haven't done anything like that in the last like decade, right? So we're looking for opportunities to create callus. And maybe that, I'm even thinking about that now. It's cold here in Ohio right now. Maybe that would be something, maybe I'll do that. Like go for a walk around my, I was going to say neighborhood, but we live out in the country now. So maybe go through a walk through the cornfields or down this little road that we have for, I don't know, a mile or two in the cold. Now, of course, I'm not going to go on a t-shirt. I'm going to be somewhat responsible, but like feel the coldness, be okay with it being not perfectly comfortable. Feel okay with me not like getting my steps in the house or on a treadmill where it's warm. That's something to do. So that's one scenario. When life gets easier or it starts to feel easier in some ways, find ways to create discomfort, to create callus for yourself. Otherwise, it's not going to happen on its own. The other scenario is it's kind of in the different in another direction. So the harder life gets, and I know this is going to sound like counterintuitive because it's like, well, life is already hard. I've got discomfort all around me. But it goes in the other direction when you think about it this way. When you have things in your life that feel really hard, maybe it's like phase of life with your kids or with your business or with your health, and you're already having to do those things. And maybe you're resisting the discomfort, right? You're in the season, you're in the phases, and you're like, this is so hard and you really don't like it. That's something that I would also suggest like looking at, like how you're looking at that discomfort. Not to say that it's going to make it better, but sometimes the way that we look at the scenarios that we're in, if we think this is terrible or if we think it shouldn't be this way, it kind of makes the pain even worse, especially if it's already a painful situation. We don't want to make it worse by how we're thinking about it. But what I want to offer you is that when you're in this season where life is hard, and there's discomfort, finding ways to create discomfort on your terms is really beneficial for two reasons, I think. One, it obviously continues to build that mental toughness, increase that tolerance for discomfort that you already have to deal with. But I think the other part of this is that it helps get this sense of control, because you're creating discomfort for yourself that, one, you're asking for and you're allowing yourself to be in. And so it doesn't feel like I'm a victim and this is happening to me and I just have to get through it. It's like, no, I created this. I'm doing this for myself. This is good for me and it's uncomfortable and I can get through it. So I think both ways, no matter where you are in life, and I think for myself, I could fall into both of these categories. There are certainly areas of my life that feel easy. There are certain areas of my life that feel hard. And so finding ways to create discomfort for all the reasons, for me to create the calluses, to create discomfort on my terms, to create this mental toughness, it's beneficial in all ways. So that's where I want to leave this today. Look for ways to continue to expand your tolerance window, your window for discomfort. Because if we do not, we're going to find that window continuing to get smaller and smaller and maybe even close to where we can't handle being uncomfortable. We can't handle what it feels like to be bored. We can't handle what it feels like to have an urge and not give into it. And then we eat everything that like we want, or we drink everything that we want, or we just lay on the couch all day because that feels really good. And getting up and doing a workout or folding the laundry, like that creates some level of discomfort. Like giving in all of the time to the things that create the most, or I should say the least discomfort, if we're always giving in to like, all right, this is the path of least resistance, I'll take this, we will live a very, very small life. Our life will be smaller, potentially, like with our potential wise, than it could be. We will create a life for ourselves that is just smaller than it is intended to be for us, potential-wise, value-wise, experience-wise, all of the things. So that's what I wanted to share with you today, my friends. I trust there was something in here beautiful for you that you can take away. And as I say each and every time, let's live a meaningful life, and we'll chat soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening along with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you could do me a solid, drop me a 5-star rating below and please comment what you liked about this podcast and how it was helpful for you. And if it was, I would love for you to share this with a friend. That is one way that I can continue to grow this podcast, reach more people, and continue to spread the good word. Also, make sure you hit subscribe on your way out so that you never miss an episode with myself, the Mindset Maniac. I'll see you here next time.